racing, handicapping, interviews. This is At the Races with Steve Beck.
A very good Wednesday, race fans. Sirius 219 XM 201 Sports Zone 964 if you're listening to Sirius XM online and at our website, stayback.com. And a gloriously bright and beautiful midweek morning here in upstate New York, the foothills of the Adirondacks. I was driving, actually. I had to drive to Cambridge yesterday. I don't know what drives it, but considering how much I've lived in the Northeast, I should know what the, you know, what the mechanics are of the fall foliage. Right? Needs to be certain. Can't be too dry. Can't be too wet. All I know is Tina and I were driving around Sunday or Saturday? I can't remember. We were driving around, and we ended up, we went down to the farm. We went down to Rock Ridge and saw the babies. Did I discuss this? The Mosler baby, who is a big, strapping, well, Bolterine is a big mare, and she's had two big babies. She's got the Motown that Country Life is raising, and she got this Mosler. The Mosler is big and kind of rangy and ornery. And it's interesting because now that I think about it, Country Life said that the Motown, is, you know, particularly as a baby, was just a wild child. The Alicia down at Luray has got a very international staff, including South African, the young South African horsemen and that come here, and she said he's a handful, he's going to be big. Carlisle Bell's baby, the Leofric, is going to turn gray, so we're kind of excited. I got to admit, we've had very few grays, and we had one very good gray, William's Lucky Gray, that we claimed, the Dunkirk, she was wonderful. And then ended up in the show ring ultimately, made a bunch of starts for us and won two races with Luis Saez both times. And so I'm excited to get a gray. And you can see the gray hairs are just starting to peak out. And he's a little smaller, but Carlisle Bell was small. So I went to see the babies. But anyway, we're driving around, and thanks to Larray and the staff at Rockridge, who do a terrific job. Carlisle Bell's in full to combatant, and Bolterine is clear this year, is barren for kind of a reset. She's had two babies. She's been 3 weeks late both times. In fact, Alicia told us about, they had a mare at Rock Ridge that carried a foal 365 days, a full calendar year, which is wild. So we'll see about Bolterine come spring. But she's getting bred I guess we don't have to worry that she's going to deliver early. So I guess she could be bred, right February 15th and still won't deliver till probably, a little late. So we're going to get that. That's one of the things you have to do once in a while. If they, the later they go, you can't, sometimes you don't want to breed them too late in the year. Anyway, so we're driving around and we're having a really pleasant, it was Saturday, and we ended up going into Great Barrington and to Lee and Pittsfield and then worked our way back on the back end of, there's a sort of a back road way to get, back to our part of the Capital District. So we did that. And it was unusual because I'm bringing this up because on the foliage front, for those of you that are going to come do leaf peeping this weekend, and it is peak leaf peeping. This is, I can highly recommend. I think this is the weekend. What was strange, though, was that for whatever reason, the colors across the border in New York are more pronounced and brilliant than in the Berkshires. I found that very strange. There, in Massachusetts, it was, it was nice, but it didn't have the fiery reds and the yellows and you know, kind of those splashes of color that you really want. Very odd. I don't know why exactly, that within a 15-20 mile range, the colors would be better on our side of the border. But there's a lot of things in this region that are better than advertised, including the maple syrup. I'm not gonna beat up on Vermont because the Vermonters will get upset, and we do have one particular favorite Vermont purveyor, one tap root, tap source in Vermont, in Yarmouth, I think Yarmouth. a little tiny hamlet, and his maple syrup is outstanding. But we've got here in Washington County, we've got multiple award winners for when it comes to maple syrup. It's not as, and the maple syrup is not as charming as it used to be. Have you noticed the gathering system now? They've got that blue plastic tubing that's not nearly as charming as the metal, the metal cans that are attached to the tree, to the maple trees. Anyway, I'm off into a ridiculous ridiculous direction to starting the show. We've got a fun morning. We're going to do some, certainly going to do some HKJC, some Hong Kong Jockey Club action. They're rolling along at Happy Valley. And let me go back to see where we are. Dick is going to join us in just a little bit. I think there actually is going to end up being quite a bit of horseplay and handicapping. I'm writing up Keeneland's pick five, pick four. This is a really good sequence today at Keeneland, and Nick Tamaro kind of hinted at that to you on Monday. He said that Wednesday card. How about these fields? Where did I put the? There it is. The quick sheet. Listen to this. It's an 8-race card today. No stakes today. No stake until that first race today. It's a 30 claimer going 6.5. 8-horse field. Then 12 by 12 by 12 by 12 by 12 by 12 by 12. Yeah. All full fields today at Keeneland. Can't beat that. This is what we say we want. I mean, to be honest, wouldn't hurt to have a 7-horse field in here somewhere to make a lean. And it just so happens, of course, that yesterday you heard from some major participants, Graham Motion, most notably. And speaking of which, that fifth race today, with the horse that he said that I skipped over, that's usually a very good indicator of projected performance potentially, right? This is a really competitive group going a mile. Script from Arthur Hancock on Algorithms. And what's interesting is there's not a ton of turf in here per se, but Graham has been letting this one work over the synthetic at Fair Hill. So know, there's every reason to believe that Graham knows what he's got here in terms of moving this horse to the turf. So he's a first turfer. 15-1 with Johnny. And away since February. And Graham, very strong, 6 months plus in terms of ROI, positive ROI, 238, 24% on the win end. So Script is certainly a player in here. How about Jeff Hiles? And Hiles has got a horse that comes into this, Two Birds. This is a Mary Lou bred Birdsong. And was a modest purchase. Broke the maiden at Belterra on the dirt. But then Hiles put this gelding on the grass at Kentucky Downs in a starter. And he ran very well. And in fact, if you're a fig, you know, if you're going to go by figs, really stepped up on the grass. So Two Birds feels, you know, very playable here. Also 15-1. There's a lot going on in here. Juan Cano has got Policy Option, who returns to the turf and looks like to me a turf horse. Those two races at Ellis and at Kentucky Downs. There's a number. I think there's like seven runners in this fifth race at Keeneland today coming from Kentucky Downs races. There's about five different races that are represented, and there's some overlap. That race that produced One Night Standards, the allowance race on September 8th, the mile. So you got a lot of that to deal with here. Mazuma for Steve Asmussen just missed in that One Night Standards allowance going a mile. That's the September 8th race. Penarash comes out of that too for Eddie Keneally, and kind of reacted. It looked like kind of a regression off the Indiana first out maiden win. It's a very good race. You look outside Emirates Road for Brendan Walsh is 10-1, now gelded, away since July. Makes a move to the grass as well. Paolo Lobo's got a last out maiden winner in Badge, the 7. Martini and Moonshine, good old Martini and Moonshine, third off the layoff, third start of the 3-year-old year for Amos and Raise the Bar Racing. Ran very well at Kentucky Downs. This was in the race with Policy Options. So there's a bunch, even outside. How about Mike Maker taking over Mike Ryan's Master of the Ring 10-1? This just feels like a place where you're going to get an explosive result. It seems almost impossible that, you know, that the superfecta, at least half the superfecta, isn't, you know, made up of prices. So that starts the pick four. Then there's that maiden race that we talked about with Graham as well, where Diamonds If You Do, the Nyquist filly, comes in here. Comes in off of a bullet, too, at Keeneland. 7/8. There's a lot going on in this. I mentioned the Pletcher Miha, the Stone Street homebred out of Rachel's Valentina by Curlin. This is the Rachel Alexandra granddaughter, an important horse, Alejandro's sister. Miha did not run great as the favorite in the debut that came here at the Spa. Should be better, but there's all types of potential first out, you know, mouse traps that are set. There's a horse in here that beyond Graham's horse, Diamonds If You Do, there's a firster from Chuck Fipke. In fact, maybe when Sid joins us, we can bring up Soul Titles Ready. This is a More Than Ready out of Soul Title, Perfect Soul Daughter, and this one has worked very nicely, and the siblings, Maca Tree by Jersey Town, and the full brother, More Than Soul Title, pretty quick on the dirt. I think this horse runs well first out. And Dallas reaches for Tyler Gaffleone, who's kind of the green light guy for him. There's a lot going on in this race. Lonnie Briley brings back the midshipman filly, Miss Shipman, who was running late in a 6-furlong try debut at Kentucky Downs, now moves to the dirt. No reason this one shouldn't like the dirt. Midshipman out of a Tappet mare, Calistoga girl. This is a University of Kentucky bred. I love that storyline. And how about Tommy Drury with the Mendelssohn filly, Harmonica, for Bruce Lunsford? This one looks ready to run first out out of a Minister's Wildcat mare, Harmonica. This is a half to Social Dilemma, who was only a one-time winner, but hit the board 11 times, and I think is still around, Social Dilemma, and was fast enough, certainly. And the Dam was a three-time stake winner, Singing Kitty. And Tommy Drury can win first out. Don't kid yourself. Tommy can fire. 10% overall, but has actually won with three of his last seven first-time starters. So sometimes, sometimes the stats are incomplete that way. There's a lot going on in this sequence. Very fun, and I may not be able to finish this until, probably won't be able to finish this until after we get off the air, but it starts, the pick four starts at 3:08, and the pick five, if we try the pick five, and right now I'm not convinced I even want to try the pick five. As difficult as these big sequences have been, I don't know. But the point is, some good racing today. We're also going to talk to John Dooley later. And mentioned yesterday that the ITOBA, Indiana Breeders, they've got their two stakes today at Horseshoe. If you haven't looked, this is also a fabulous card. Deep, big fields. Nice mix of Indiana breds and open company. So that's on the agenda. And, as mentioned, HKJC. All right? That's what we're looking at. In fact, Case, let's get Dick in here. And let me go back to the... I was looking at Keeneland. Let me go back and pull up the Hong Kong action. And the 6th actually just, I think they just went, right? Yeah. So 7th, 8th, and 9th, we're about 20 minutes away from that 7th race. That'll start the late pick 3, which Dick will offer. Been having some fun on Twitter with Form to Win users that are enjoying the Form to Win access. And if I could find my phone, where's my phone? Oh my God. Where is my phone? This is bad. Oh jeez. Where did I put my phone? Don't know. Usually it's under the PPs, but not right now. It's not. All right. Well, we're in trouble. I won't be able to, won't be able to do that. Won't give you much help. All right. Come on. Nope, I don't see it. But I do hear Dick with us. Dick Powell, good morning.
Steve, good morning. Tough being a Met fan these days.
I didn't... Yeah, I didn't want to. I, yesterday, Andy had a nice ode to them because he's something of a Met fan. But yeah, that was hideous.
Well, just to go down without a fight, I mean, 6-0, one hitter, two base runners, just, oh, man. So we had our hopes up all year, and then they were dashed.
Well, I can tell you there's some Seattle Mariner fans were probably, they must have been dashed yesterday. I looked up, and it looks like they're going to beat Houston in game one. I 20 minutes later, I look back, and somehow Houston had beaten them. I was like, ugh, you got to be kidding.
Well, he brought in Robbie Ray to pitch to Alvarez. So he brings in last year's Cy Young Award winner, starting pitcher.
Yep.
Throws him into the game as a relief guy. Monstrous power hitter at the plate. And he leaves one over the strike zone and end the story. He just crushed it. So yeah, that was that manager, I don't know how bad he's gonna get second guessed, but it's hard to play a whole season. And Buck did this Saturday night, I believe, when he brought in Diaz in the seventh inning. I'm like, we haven't done that all year. And I know he wanted to have him face the top of the lineup. And I mean, I get that, but it's like you got a rhythm that you use all year, and then you get to the playoffs, and you don't really want to change that rhythm. So wait till next year, as they used to say.
Well, exactly. You know, it's funny, and the way you frame that too, Dick, that can be equated to racing too, where you know you have the potential to to get out of your rhythm, to do something that there's certain moves you understand in terms of trying to stretch horses out and so forth, but then there's also getting out of the comfort zone and kind of opening yourself up to beaching yourself and your horse on the rocks.
Yeah. And yesterday with Seattle, relief pitchers nowadays start the inning. They don't usually come in to precarious situations like relief pitchers did for a gazillion years. So
yep.
Usually they start the inning, they have their own rhythm, they're bummed up. That's what they're used to. Robbie Ray's a starting pitcher, so he's even less used to that. So to bring him in and the pressure on the road, crowd going nuts, monster hitter at the plate, is having a good day anyway. And, boy, that's a tough position to put anybody in. He rolled the dice, 6-6.
Well, and then... I'm finding myself. The people ask me all the time because they know I'm an Eagles fan. They said, "Oh, are you a Philly and Sixer and Flyer fan?" And the answer has traditionally been no. However, I am rooting for the Phils. I find them very likable, and Harper has been on my fantasy team for an extended period too. So I find myself kind of rooting for the Phillies, and that. That was an entertaining game. I had that on this yesterday afternoon.
Yeah, they jumped on them early and held on. And, at least you got to see some runs scored and some hitting. And Phillies can be tough in those circumstances. And
poor
man. When do you get Zach Wheeler back? Is he running? Is he pitching game two or game three? He was pretty good in that first round.
Well, I've watched more baseball, I think, in the last 3 days than I did all season. I have found it's not like I used to be. And frankly, with my dad gone, the last several years, in fact, one of the reasons the only reason I even would watch was, so I could talk about the games with him. I mean, he was a big Mets fan, ultimately, grew up as a Dodger fan once he came to the U.S., but, That once it got hard to even talk to him, you know, he couldn't even watch it after a certain point, the last probably three years. So I kind of stopped, watching during the... And when, one of the negative side effects of... and it's one of the differences between pro sports these days and racing. Being serious about and playing in these fantasy sports leagues, and I've been involved in it, since the 80s. I mean, our league, the Mid-Atlantic Rotisserie League, is going to celebrate its 40th year next year, which has got to be one of the oldest, longest-running leagues of this kind, ever, anywhere. And we started I got involved when I worked at Procter & Gamble, and a buddy, Rick Dolewski, that I met. Rick sort of recruited me for his fantasy league, and this was before the book ever came out, Dan Okrent and those guys. And they were from the University of Chicago Business School, and they created a league based on total bases, Dick. You got a single, double, triple, home run, and that was your scoring for hitters, and pitchers got 10 points for a win, 20 points for a shutout, when there were still shutouts, and right? And so that was my first introduction, and then a couple of years later, when Rotisserie got big, I introduced a circle of friends, and we started this league, Mid-Atlantic Rotisserie League, and it's going to be 40 years old next year. It's amazing. But anyway, you become less of a fan of a single team, especially somebody like me that moved all around. I mean, if the Expos were still around, I would still be an Expos fan. But
yeah, and I think you have familiarity with more players, where I'm so
yes.
Met-centric.
Yes.
That I know Wheelers because he used to be a Met. You know, an American League. Forget I. I don't know
same
anybody
way.
In American
League. I'm same way. Yeah. National League only for me, too. Agreed. Unless a guy gets traded to the American League, then you get, like, the entire Malik get traded. And so I had to watch a couple of times. I watched him on the Twins, which, anyway. that's the beauty of racing. I mean, racing, you can tune in to anything. You can turn to any region. It doesn't matter. You can take an interest in any kind of horse, and any, long, short, turf, dirt, old, young. You can turn it. You can turn on racing at any day, and with access to PPs that we have now, you can take a position and you can bet, and it doesn't matter.
And exactly, and you're looking at a market for that race. So you have horses, you have trainers, jockeys, whether you're familiar or not, they're there in that market, and now the market is saying this, the lean to this one, this one's favored, this one's not, you can judge accordingly. And that obviously goes on. We had a 1-9 shot go down in flames on Sunday, Bulldog Hanover.
Yep.
Tried for the world record, going a mile. He went out, set a bruising pace through three quarters, and then got into the deep water and got run down by Alleywag Hanover, who ran 146 flat, missed the Bulldog's world record by a fifth. Bulldog held on for second, and he was 1-9, and he went down in flames. So, as Harvey Pack used to say, they all get beat.
That's right.
Now, Saturday at Ascot, we have a horse who's 12 for 12, going for 13 for 13, and hopefully stays out of that club. Baid will be in the British Champions Day middle distance race 5 on the Ascot card. It's the most lucrative race in Great Britain, and he brings his undefeated record in, and he has to face Adyar, who won the Epsom Derby last year, hasn't had that good a year this year. He's had a bunch of stops and starts, but obviously immensely talented. The rest of the field doesn't look that good, but hopefully not one of the ones that all gets beat. And by he could retire it. 13-13. Unfortunately, no Breeders' Cup, this is it.
It'll suffice. Not everybody's obligated to come here.
Now, and we've seen in the first Breeders' Cup, I think it was like the first Breeders' Cup at Keeneland, Aidan O'Brien had the mare Found.
Yes.
And Found ran in New York in Paris, ran on British Champions Day and got beat ahead on a really soft yielding course and came back 3 weeks later at Keeneland and beat Golden Horn. And I loved her that day, and it was her third race in 5 weeks. So there will be some horses added this weekend that we might see, but more so horses coming out of New York weekend, we'll see. But yeah, Great Britain winds it up. The flat season pretty much winds up on Saturday at Ascot.
Dick, before we dive into the upcoming, we're about 12 minutes. Actually, you know what? Let's do it in reverse. Let's talk about this sequence here at Happy Valley, and then once we establish the pick three play, then we can recap what went on over the weekend.
Okay. 7, 8, 9 races. Race 7 is 1650 meters, two turns. They start pretty close to the finish line, so they're going to go around. They're going to hit the finish line twice. Early speed can be a big factor. In fact, the course tonight is good to firm. Favorite in this race is number 4, Comet Splendido. We had him last time out, and he got run down by Nearly Fine. No Nearly Fines in today. Does have to overcome post 10, but seems to have enough pace to get some kind of position and get Zach Purton, who we'll talk about in a little bit. So that's number 4, Comet Splendido. I did spread out in this race. I did use the 2 also, My Ecstatic. Keeps moving up in class, keeps running well, showed terrific speed last time here at Happy Valley. First start off a bit of a freshening. If he improves off that race, could be very tough. Carries 134 pounds, but does it from post 5, so that's more manageable. And also, I'm going to use number 6, Majestic Victory, Tony Cruz, Vincent Ho. Good third, just missed half length in the same race that My Ecstatic comes out of. So he was making up ground in the deep stretch at Happy Valley. Similarly, first start off a bit of a freshening. Tony Cruz is off to a terrific start this year. Usually Tony kind of lags behind and then really picks it up the second half to me. He's the second leading trainer at Hong Kong this year. So 2, 4, 6 in race 7. Race 8, we have 1,800 meters, a longer two-turn race. And I went with number 5, Kung Fu Master Panda. You got to love that name. Zach Purton rides for Pierre Ng. Missed by a length, ran well. Ran well on Good to Firm, the start before that. So third start off the layoff, draws post 3, should be able to save ground. And we'll see if Zach can find a seam and make up some running. Also going to use number 7, Taylor Made. Last three races were terrific, all against class 4. Just keeps running well and well. Picks up a little bit of weight, not bad. And Casper Founds, his horses are running well. Only has 6 wins, but 8 seconds and 2/3. So Taylor Made will throw in from post 2. And we're also going to use a bit of a price, number 11, Owner's Star. He won a class 5 his last start at Sha Tin. That moved his rating up to 40, which means he's running against class 4, 40-60. But he gets in at the bottom of class 4. So he's running against 60 horses. So he's getting 18 pounds from the high weight in the race. He's in, what, 117. Vagna Borges is the jock. His form coming into this race, very good. He drew his post eight. I don't think he'll have any trouble getting the distance. And as a price, number 11, Onastar, as a lightweight, has a big shot. You got to remember, these are handicap races, and weight does matter. And then race number 9, 1,200 meters, class 4. Give an example, Steve. The one horse is the high weight, and he draws post 12. So I mean, that's pretty hard to overcome. So for me, he's a toss. You know, if he does, he's Superman, but he's not going to be me. So I'm going to go with number 2, Harmony and Home. Second highway, Zach Purton riding for Danny Shum. Had a little bit of traffic in his last start. Going to use number 3, Sugar Sugar, who's probably going to be the post-time betting favorite. Was 3.9-1 in the early betting today. One going away. Last time out, picks up 8 pounds off the race, but gets Alpha Chan, who's a 5-pound apprentice rider. So he's in with 126, not 131. So only picks up 2 pounds, 3 pounds off that last win. That should keep him right in the mix here. And we're going to throw in number 9, Young Victory, won a barrier trial, coming into the finished up last year, couple of decent races. You know, he's kind of inconsistent, but on his best day, he's doable and at the price and all that. I'm gonna throw Young Victory in for a long shot. Very tough race, Steve. A lot of horses with single-digit odds. There's probably 7 horses that are going to go off right around single-digit or maybe 10, 11 to 1. So if you like somebody else, you like 3 other horses, I can't argue with you, but I'm going to use 2, 3, and 9 in this race to wrap it up. Race 7, 2, 4, 6. Race 8, 5, 7, 11. Race 9, 2, 3, and 9.
3 by 3 by 3. All right.
$4 play, $108. That's what I do.
Very good. All right. All right. Let's see. What do we got? We are
still on the parade ring.
6 minutes. 6 minutes. Here we go. Let me get the video back up. All right. Happy Valley, folks. Let's give everybody a recap of the weekend.
Well, the weekend was Zach Purton. Zach went out and won 7 races at Chatham Sunday morning. I mean, it's just remarkable what he did. Now, they're all favorites. And the other remarkable thing is the other 3 races were won by Harry Bentley. So, 2 riders, not the 2 you suspect. Obviously, you're going to suspect Zach. You might not have suspected Harry, but Harry's doing well, and he picked up 3 wins to Zach's 7. But Zach just was just a tour de force. He now has 21 wins. Next is Vincent Ho at 9. So he's opened up a wide gap. Knock on wood, he'll be very tough, with especially Joe Marrero being sidelined. So it was a Zach Purton story, but I thought the best performance on the night was the last race, class 2. Hacking Victory won, going 7 furlongs with Bentley aboard at 14-1. Covered the 7 furlongs in 121.17, faster than par, and just looked real good doing it. And he'll be a factor when he takes his next move up in class, which is probably going to be stakes company, because they don't have many class 1 handicaps that fill, you know, with enough horses. So he did that from post 9 against a 14-horse field, so it was a very legitimate race. Time was excellent. And Packing Victory, he'll be a horse to watch as the season progresses for Harry Bentley and Danny Shum. So that was Saturday night story. This weekend, same schedule, Saturday night, Sunday morning, I shot 10. Next Wednesday, back at Happy Valley. 10 races at Shot 10 this weekend, all on the turf. This past week, we had 5 on the all-weather, 5 on turf. This week, all 10 on the turf. a really interesting stake race. The Sha Tin Trophy is going to be run at 1,600 meters, and it's kind of attracted, because of the placing on the calendar, you got some really good horses that are pawing for the big international races in December. So we got Waikiku, we got Russian Emperor, great both Group 1 winners, and then we have California Spangle. Now, California Spangle won his last race, moved up 10 pounds in the rating system, so this is a handicap, so Waikiku will be the high weight, Russian Emperor will be next, California Spangle will be next, but then you got a whole bunch of other horses that are either fast or looking for a prep to go on to the longer distances, so it should be pretty fascinating. I'm sure California Spangle will be the favorite. He's one at a mile. You know, he's obviously a superstar. He won his first start of the year, 120.4, going seven. So we could look to see a sub-133 mile rather committing. But Russian Emperor is a gelded son of Galileo. We saw him win the Champions Chater Cup at a mile and a half. And so a mile, a little short, but he's won well at that distance. So this will be a fascinating race to watch on Sunday morning at Sha Tin. So we got that coming up. That should get us really rolling with the stakes schedule, because now all the horses that have stakes engagements coming up, they got to start getting on the track. So this is a big stake race. Right now there's 14 in it. Tony Cruz has 3 in the race. And so we're going to see a big field. We're going to see a dramatic field. And we're going to see it run under handicapped conditions, which means, you know, some of the lighter weight horses still have a chance if they're getting, you know, 15 pounds from the top horses.
Coming up on a minute to post here at the Valley. The Valley where it's happy. And actually, I'm just juxtaposing. I see they got Nick's selections up. He also likes the 4.62, 4.628, in fact. Some adjustments here, Dick, on the two. In fact, let me get the current odds.
Two's 8-1.
Eight to one on my ecstatic. Frankie Lord.
Yeah, four is taken. Comet Splendido is taken.
Wow. All the odds on that. Four to five. Majestic Victory took money. He's 7-2 currently.
Yes, he did.
Yeah. So the value, I mean, in terms of a value line, I guess everybody, well, Bulletproof seems to be, the 8 seems to be a little bit overlooked. Majestic Victory, that the 6 is, he's been pounded. Jenny likes 4.6110. So 4.6 clearly in focus here for everybody. I would have loved to have given everybody the... I would have been happy to give everybody the form to win if I could find my phone, which is completely MIA. So I'm sorry.
Well, every day we go through it at my house. I rarely, if ever, lose my phone, but my wife and granddaughter, boy. And they have iPhones where they can press a button on their watch and it bings and
right.
Still losing.
Well, we had sort of a morning interruption scenario. Tina leaves for school, then calls and says, "Oh, I know where it is." That just prompted my understanding of where I put it. She was supposed to bring the car in to get new tires and forgot to do it last night. Usually we drop it off the night before. And so she had left, and I'm up. This is one of the reasons that the Keeneland write-up isn't finished. She calls and says, "I got to bring the car in." So she turns around. She was halfway to Salem. She turns around, I meet her over there. I drive my car over. this gets complicated. So we drop her car off. She takes my car, and then I get here home, and I start to work, and I realize in my pocket are the car keys of my car. So she's got my car, and the car was running in the driveway when she dropped me off.
Yeah.
Now she drives to Salem, but she won't be able to start the car later because I've got...
Exactly.
I mean, you got to be kidding me with this. So, and in the middle of everything, my phone had died. All right, here we go. We're getting ready, and we are off.
Pragmatism wasn't the quickest out, but not as slow as Insured, who missed the start clearly. Now, there's a few going forward here. Meyer Static, out wider, nothing new. Golden Link, Majestic Victory towards the inside with Keen Unity. And Canto Prepared down on the inside of Bulletproof. And then came Pragmatism. And back in the behind those runners is the favourite. That is Comet Splendido, who's about second and third last. And Insured is back at the end of the field for Sylvester De Souza. 27.78 the lead section. So pace is okay. And Meyer Static is travelling and settled a lot better than he did last start. He shows out by three quarters. Second is Nothing New. Golden Link third as they corner into the back, and King Unity fourth over on the outside of Majestic Victory, who's three horses back on the fence. Bulletproof came next, followed by Encanto Prepared on the rail. Comet Splendido's got two behind him, the favourite. They are Pragmatism and Insured last of all. 24.52 the second section. Getting his own way in front is Meyer Static. Still three quarters in advance on Nothing New. Golden Link's had a good run on the trail. King Unity next, Majestic Victory, followed by Bulletproof, who shoved along at the 500. Encanto Prepared, followed there by Comet Splendido. He's about seven off the lead. Pragmatism and Insured last of all. 300 to go. The leader, Meyer Static, but Golden Link's cornered beautifully over on the inside. Nothing New still there to challenge. Comet Splendido looking to wind up down the outside with Majestic Victory. Nothing New. Comet Splendido driving in the center. Majestic Victory. Comet Splendido in front and holds on. Favorites in. Comet Splendido has beaten Majestic Victory second, and they had a good set too for the last 100 meters. Nothing New from photos fourth. Golden Link with Insured, who arrived late down the outside. He's put up a good performance coming from a long way back.
Well, there it is, and the favorites all perform pretty admirably. Yep. And even Meyer Static, who put in a good effort, Dick, ends up fading a little bit late. Looks like he's sixth, but 4-6-1-5 in the seventh to start the late pick three. And the 3-5 favorite by the time the gates opened, Comet Splendido.
Yeah, they bet the right one, and they bet him hard and often. And I thought the six was going to get first jump, which he did, but still couldn't hold off the four. So we would have liked the six better, but Comet Splendido does it from post 10. And Zach Burton. I think it's Zach's first win on the day, so. That gets a win here for Danny Shum.
Well,
that is as formful of, as it gets. And the amazing thing with Happy Valley, Steve, is even with the short stretch and the sharp turn, these horses wind up. They come flying. And I think a lot of it is the ground, that they're able to grab the ground when the rider wants them to go, where they don't have that spinning wheels effect that you get on softer, more yielding tracks. So even though you think, well, firm, like I'm on the lead here, and maybe I should have kept going considering the pace is rather slow, these horses that come from behind, once they get asked to go, the acceleration is just right there. So it's tough to win on the lead, and number two tried, couldn't do it, but that was form personified, first and second choices, odds on top.
The eighth race, 5-7-11 for Dick, and 2-3-9 in the nightcap. We got to close one of these out, Dick. It's been a little maddening. Last week, I know we ended up getting beaten in the nightcap, so we got to see this one through to the end.
Oh, well, we had the console last week, which luckily none of us are betting paper tickets, but when you run second in the last leg of any of their pick races, they have a consolation for second place. So last week we had winner, winner, and then a heavy favorite one second. But I didn't pay anything, but you did get, you know, in your account, you might have noticed you got a little bit of money. Sometimes it's real good. Sometimes the second place horse, if it's any kind of price, pays very, very well. But it's just a nice thing that they do. They do it with the double, they do it with the treble, they do it with all the races. If you come in second in the last leg, you get something. So I want that. We don't want two more winners. But I wasted a couple of bullets here thinking the four from post 10 might be beatable. Wrong.
Dick, let's fill in a couple of other blanks while we got about 5-6 minutes to fill out the segment, and some thoughts on what we saw over the weekend. You had the 2-year-olds, obviously. Cave Rock is going to be the focus in the juvenile. That became abundantly clear. The Distaff excitement is starting to build. Rightly so, with Nest and Malathat and Clairiere and Society and Search Results and on and on and on. Should be quite entertaining. What'd you make of the weekend results?
Well, the fillies and mares were spectacular, and Society speed that she showed in the cotillion is going to be really interesting, because if no one goes with her, she showed in Pennsylvania how tough she can be and how good she is at the moment. Now, Malathat and Nest have just been handled so well by Todd. Just brought them up to the penultimate races and has them ready for, you know, the Distaff. So they look great. The Triska, I hope they just send them to the breeding shed. She just doesn't have the fight. You know, she has the speed. Doesn't have the fight. When she gets past, she just succumbs. But that was sad to see a great male like that. But that division looks tough. The 2-year-olds, as always, because you got Baffert with his group. You got the Champagne horses, and I really like the horse who ran second in the Champagne, the Justify Colt. I thought his stride was excellent. I don't think he really liked that track, but he was really striding out, so I have no doubt about his ability to get 2 turns. And then the Breeders' Fraternity, which is always a tough race to gauge because there's a lot of horses in there. There's some subtle trips that you got to figure out. And then, you know, they have the advantage of going 2 turns. The Champagne horses have always had the disadvantage of going 1 turn, but that doesn't, you know, Good Magic was able to do it coming out of the Champagne. Obviously, it can be done. So that creates some handicap and challenges. And, you know, the good thing for me, Steve, is I'm not doing it for anybody. So I can sit on my rear end on Friday morning if I choose to. I don't have to file it on Monday and Tuesday do all the work weeks out. So I enjoy it. I'm not saying it's working any better, because what it's done is, like anybody else, you give them rope, they hang themselves. So now I have all this extra free time. Do I use it judiciously and effectively? No. I do the things I need to do when I need to do them, not ahead of time. So with the wider schedule, you know, heading up to post time, doesn't always work, but I enjoyed it. It was a lot of racing. I tried to watch as much as I could. Some of the races were a little hard to find. CNBC had the Breeders' Cup Challenge races from Keeneland Saturday and Sunday, and America's Day at the Races, I don't think, had Keeneland, so you had to go back to FanDuel to see the other Keeneland races other than the big stake races, and then the Santa Anita being on FanDuel. So you kind of have to bounce around. I have, on YouTube TV, you have unlimited recording capability, so I have all sorts of stuff I've recorded that I probably don't even know I recorded. So kind of go back through them. And then, you know, YouTube itself is great now. You just put in the name of the race, and someone's going to have a nice high-def view of the race, and you can just watch it as many times as you want. XBTV is another tool that's very, very valuable. So I will use my time better in this case because there's not many more Breeders' Cup prep races coming up. It's all so front-loaded to give the trainers time before the prep race and the Breeders' Cup. So you get that little lull in there. So that'll give me time to go over everything. But I just hope they have good weather for the Keeneland Breeders' Cup, and fields look real big, and all the international horses are going to be as tough as usual.
Well, and now we'll get through this weekend at Ascot, and then it's time. Obviously, Monday is pre-entry, so that'll go a long way, clearly. But they won't announce until Wednesday. But we'll start to have a feel. And typically, a lot of the international outfits, most notably Aidan O'Brien, his pre-entry names will be released. Essentially, they do a good job that way, and a few other yards will. We'll let it be known, who's been pre-entered, and then we got to start to sift through, and there's the always arduous, decision making or projections about who's going to go in what race. That'll make everybody nuts, but we'll at least have some early idea, and we're of the school. I know there's a lot of people who say, "Oh, I'll wait until they draw the races, and I will have the." I'm sorry, I don't buy that. We've got too many. 150 horses entered. There's just too many horses that you have to get to know and become familiar with. So the more time we have with pre-entries, it's funny, Dick. You think about what you just said about the DVR and the way we used to do it when it was such a big deal that when they would offer up the opportunity to buy those VHS tapes and you'd wait like, you'd wait like a kid waiting for his Orphan Annie decoder ring to come. Yeah. You'd watch for the mailman to bring you those VHS tapes so that you could watch races that you hadn't seen. I mean, this is not that long ago.
No, and for years, Capital TV TV had Horses for Courses.
Right.
And they would get the races overnighted to them. And way back, it was Jack Wolfeseder. And if there was a Hollywood Park race or whatever, somehow OTB paid for it. And not just, you got to think, it's being overnighted, and it's 3/4-inch tape. It's a big cassette. It weighs a lot. And these things would come piling in on Tuesday morning. The guys would have all the pages set up. They'd know the results. They'd know the finish time, all that. And then they would float in the video, and then that show would be recorded religiously by people. And I know many handicappers who had a little bit of an inside edge would ask OTB to make extra copies of the show, and you put in a record order, and you'd have that week's stake races, because it was almost the only place to find them. And Harvey Peck used to have them on Tuesday night. And that was, I think he was able to pull them in off the satellite. But it was pretty cumbersome, so you had to make a big, big effort. And the European races, forget, you didn't know who these horses were. They showed up
exactly.
And you saw a familiar name or whatever, but yeah, it's way different now. We got no excuses now.
Well, I do see that Form to Win, the Papo got the three races out. I didn't see it earlier, but Papo did the work. So the snapshots from Form to Win are up. But Dick needs 5-7, 11, and 2-3-9, and I hope some of you played along. And Dick, good luck this week and the rest of the way and this weekend. And I don't know if we're going to get, let's see, you'll be on before typically they release by 11 o'clock the pre-entries come out a lot of times, if I'm not mistaken. I should check with Jim Gluckson, because I do want to say full nominations, folks. Full nominations close, the early nominations for $400, they close on the 15th, on Saturday. Be aware. And I just got in the mail, the form came, and I'm glad it came, because I had forgotten about it, and I had not yet nominated the two foals. It is so worthwhile. It's $400, and if you end up selling, particularly if you sell, you enhance the value of your foal with this minor investment. And as you could see, you know, we talked with Darwin Bannock yesterday, and look at that situation. There was no reason why Bushido couldn't have been, you know, he's a first samurai. There's no reason why he couldn't have been nominated for 400. And instead, you know, here the owners are going to have to pony up 30,000. So this is well worth it as a minor investment. I mean, there's plenty of other things you spend that seem extraneous in retrospect, but this 400 isn't one of them.
Yep. Good PSA there, Stevie.
Not at all. My pleasure. Dick Powell, Everybody, HKJC Racing, right. Your Twitter, and everywhere right, else. Thanks, Dick. You got okay. it. Let's take the break. Out. Top of the hour is upon us, and we got Sid joining us. Just exchanged some notes with Sid, and we should actually, I'll save it for when Sid joins us, but we do have the day one results from OBS to fill in. So we got that going for us. You know, I mentioned yesterday, by the way, let me slip this in, and I'm going to have to reach out to some people to get everything all the information. But there were three passings over the last few days, in fact, and I only caught bits and pieces. Eddie Broome has passed away, and John Pronio up in my Finger Lakes, and also a longtime horseman in this one I've got to find my... I save this stuff, and I try to, you know, accrue it at Fairmont, and I wanted to pass these along because, you know, what happens in... people, they move around and they've got friends that moved and retired and, you know, not everybody is on top of the, you know, the news wire, the trades and so forth. And sometimes these things just get reported in a very incomplete. But I did try to catch them. So we'll get you appropriate, obits and tributes to all three. They're underway, actually, 10 o'clock, day two for the OBS sale. And like I said, we'll bring this up with Sid, as well as the news that just came out about the foal numbers from that have been accrued for this year. And they're down 2%, 2.2%, which is a little surprising and a little disappointing, to be honest. We kind of had hoped that foal crop, I mean, it feels like it's leveled off, so come back the other way, but live foals dropped 2.2%. We'll see what Sid's got to say, and we'll give you the numbers and the specifics from OBS. Have a good first day, and you can't have one of these sessions without a reference to DJ Stable. Yeah, they bought They bought a $210,000 Matoldi Colt. Few things to do with Sid Fernando. Talk about the grade one winners, the two-year-olds. Big score for Violence, for Hillendale. Forte, big part of it. And Cave Rock, of course, the Arrogate pair of winners in California. And more. All right. Sirewatch Pedigree Focus brought to you by Hillendale. Back after this.
It's At The Races with Steve Beck on Sirius XM Radio. Here in Pennsylvania, we're proud of our breeding program, the best in North America. But we're also proud to be leaders in this industry. The PA Horse Breeders Association is funding cutting-edge research at Penn Vet into equine health and safety. And we endorse the SAFE Act to help protect the most vulnerable horses. Plus, we're pleased to support the aftercare programs set up by our horsemen's groups. Just a few of the reasons why you should join us in Pennsylvania, the premier place to breed and race.
Who are you betting on? How about an app created specifically for horse racing? Naira Bets. We specialize in thundering hooves, fist pumping, and boosting your bankroll with robust weekly promotions, and offer betting tips from actual horse racing experts. Bet all day and night, nationwide. Get the action and thrill of horse racing with Naira Bets. $200 deposit match with promo Steve200. Visit NairaBets.com for details.
The Ponds Family's Country Life and Maryland Farms are the place for breeding and racing in the Mid-Atlantic. Country Life is nationally recognized for making stallions and currently stands the Mid-Atlantic's leading first and second crop sires, Divining Rod by Tappan and Mosler by Warfront, as well as Frisian Fire. Maryland's 5/8 mile training track completes the full-service facilities from the foaling barn to the racetrack. Join the excitement of racing with Country Life Farm, where our partnerships can take you from beginning.